And I'm looking forward to being here regularly again. But today is a special appearance. One, because I miss being here. And two, because I have a very, very special guest in the studio. And want to say aloha kaka hiaka to you, John.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for being here. And, oh my gosh, we've known each other for a really long time.
Yeah, I think since the early 90s.
Yep, or mid-90s is when we really started to collaborate and do stuff together. Yeah. You know, I had lunch with my niece, my grandniece. No, she's not my grandniece, she's my niece. Her daughters and her sons are my mo'opuna, my grandnieces and nephews. But I was having lunch with my niece, Tabitha, last week. And I was looking for a photo of something that's very special to me. And the last place that I remember having a photo was in the old Kauai Heritage Center, which was formerly located near the clock tower at Kauai Village. And that's when we first started to do stuff together. You were on this journey, working and making and crafting beautiful ohehano ihu, or Hawaiian bamboo nose flutes. And back then you were already writing. When I first met you, you were already writing short stories. And so John is an author, and he's not just an author that writes stuff in his in his notebooks. He's a published author. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you're making me feel,
you're important.
Good, but yeah.
Yeah, you're the guy. You know, Hawaiians can. We can.
But, you know, that's one of the things I think early is that, you know, that creativity. Yeah? And I really liked creating stories. And that was something that, stories, songs, you know, anything written on paper, I really enjoyed. And so I also found it as an outlet. You know, sometimes, you know, life is a game, and you're not going to always win, you know. And so writing was an outlet. It helped me release some of that pressure inside. And, you know, once you finish writing them, and you kind of put them on the shelf or put them in the folder, and there's just one pilikia that is now off you. You know, it's just away from you, and you can put them on the side. Whether it's published quality or that type, yeah, I don't think it really matters, because the key is to just get them out.
Right.
You know, get it released from inside. Once you do that, you know, you find some relief.
Right. Way. And this is pre-social media. So you're either writing it with a pen and paper, or you perhaps may have been using that old-fashioned machinery thingy that was called a typewriter. Or later on, of course, not too much later on, there were already computers back then, you know, your computers. And then now we have access to all of this other stuff. And so, you know, people also use social media to publish their thoughts and their, you know, their literary works. Mm-hmm. And so what was your first publication? What was your first published written piece of work?
My first one was in OEV, you know, in the OEV EHA publication. It was a story called The Sands of Polihale. And in this story, it combined my love for Konani, and it's a very interesting story. You know, I don't want to break it up, but unfortunately, the publication it's hard to find this
book. No longer in print.
Yeah.
Now there was a series of them, mm-hmm. and most of them are out of print. So if you can find it, if you guys come across it, like in a yard sale or a book sale somewhere, and you come across any of the OEV journals, they consisted, grab them, right? Yeah, they're priceless. So they consist of literary works by different Native Hawaiian writers.
Yeah. And it's, I even still today, when I sometimes I brush through, and you know, some of these writers are they weren't well known at the time, but all of a sudden they're well known. You know, and so you
gotta put yourself out there.
When you go back and look, and you know, you get a chance to dig into this person's personality, who now is somebody,
right? And a noted somebody.
And when they were just started off, you know, the little somebody was working their way up, and you know, some great artists that are in there. Some of the great creativity from them.
So in that short story called The Sands of Polyhale, I did notice, and I'm going to go back and read it because it's a little bit longer than I would have time for at this moment. But the thing that jumped out to me immediately was that you were already writing about Konane and what that meant to you. So this journey of Konane for you has been a long time. Uh-huh. A very long time. So what first interested you? How did you connect to Konane?
Well, when I was a little boy, right, I was in Boy Scouts. Actually, I was in Cub Scouts. And so the Cub Scouts had the makahiki, since we've been talking about makahiki. And there was a project, and so Konane was one of the projects to coincide with makahiki. And so my father made a Konane board. Yeah, Papamu. And, you know, when you're young, right, you get all excited, all your friends come over, we play. But, you know, what's interesting, back then, you know, never have all the kind of electronic toys that we have today.
Right.
You know, I mean,
everything was handmade.
Yeah, you drink from the water hose back then, you know what I mean? As long as you're home in the, you know, when the sun get over the mountain or the street light come on, you better be home already.
When you hit a whistle.
And so, you know, we started drifting off to other activities. And then when I moved to Kauai, it was at one of the Kauai Heritage, one of your craft fairs that you had there, there was a guy selling Papamu. And so I bought one because I wanted my kids
to learn,
to experience Konane. But at that time, I was more on the recreational side.
Right.
It was just for fun. And my house became like the neighborhood house. All the kids would come to the house. And so I wanted to keep them occupied too. And so Konane and so on. But then Nintendo made its way. The first early stages of Nintendo. When Nintendo came, Konane was out the door already. It was all dusty already.
Right.
And so when I started driving tour bus, there's a lot of downtime. That's when the Konane, the Papamu came out. Because during the downtime, we would play with some of the other drivers. And as more and more I played, more and more I started making some connections that moved me from like that recreational level to more on the educational and cultural level. And so that was a
deeper thinking, forward thinking. Your, you know, your breathing begins to take a more, you know, a deeper pace. You're focusing more. You know, a lot of people take Konane for granted. And I remember Darvin Akui. He and I used to work together a long time ago for this ancient rent-a-car company that is long gone, doesn't even exist. I don't even if you remember Tropical Rent-A-Car.
I think I remember
That was like in the early 80s. Straight out of school, that's where I was working. And I will probably never do that again in my life. But anyway, I remember that you folks are driving. And so in between your runs and other things that you guys were doing when you had downtime, you guys would play Konane.
Yeah, especially with Darvin. We used to play a lot. And the story is actually kind of based on the two characters of the relationship between me and Darvin.
Beautiful.
And with Konane, both of us being Hawaiians, both of us being well-versed in Hawaiian culture. But again, is that making that connection from recreation to, you know, the cultural part of it, that's when I started opening up my eyes and I started to see more of the possibilities of how much we need Konane today. Especially in today's chaotic world, we really need Konane.
Absolutely. So we are going to take a small little segue. I have something that we are going to, we have our Manu Minute, which I'm just a minute behind, but nonetheless. So we will visit, a short little visit with, sponsored by our friends of the Kilauea and Kauai Wildlife Refuges for our Manu Minute. And mahalo for that Manu Minute. I'm back here in the studio. This is Kumuhula Ke Haolani Ke Kua. You're listening to Aina Ike on the air. And I've got a very dear friend and a special guest. And we are talking about konane. Konane. K-O with the kahako over the O. N-A-N-E. Konane. And so some of you may already know about konane, maybe you know how to play konane, but I am certain that there's a lot of people that have no idea what the heck konane is. Like right now, we have 57 people tuning in from all over the planet. There's people from Texas and Canada and Germany and the United Kingdom, Japan, and Israel for that matter. And so what is konane, John?
So konane is an ancient Hawaiian game. But I like to call it an ancient Hawaiian teaching tool.
Yes.
What I love about konane is that it's not an aggressive game. Because the objective of konane is to make the last move.
Right.
And so it's not about consumption. Where a lot of these other games, they're all about consumption. This game is about management. And for the ancient Hawaiians, it was more about resource management.
Beautiful.
Interesting you brought up the commercial that was just above us, the
about
wildlife.
The birds, yes.
You know, what they're trying to achieve is managing the resource to make an environment better.
Right.
For the wildlife that happened to be in that area. And our kupuna knew this. And they knew how important it was to manage the resources for long-term sustainability. And so because the objective is to make the last move, it forces you to manage more than consume. If you're going to just consume, you're not going to be too successful in this game because it's not about consumption. And again, it's a teaching tool because all of our ali'i learn how to play konane, not necessarily as a recreational game, but more as an educational component to their growth so that when they became the next leaders, they understood how to manage not only human, but natural resources.
Especially the natural resources.
Especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, with everything else, they got to come up with an action plan and they got to implement it. And you know, that's some of the qualities that a good leader can do is not just talk, 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 but be able to complete and finish the project in the least amount of time. Using the, you know, best utilizing the resources that are available.
So I just had this epiphany as I was listening to you right now. You know, I think our leaders, you know, at the island level and at the state level and, you know, the federal guys, we kind of worry about them because they're like in a whole different world. But, you know, we live on the tip top of islands, of seamounts, actually. And a lot of people don't realize that. And Hawaii and Kauai is gorgeous. It's beautiful. But living on the very top of seamounts is something that nobody really thinks about. This is not the continent. You cannot just get in your car and drive off to the next, you know, into the next state or whatever have you. If you run out of water over here, you can't just like drive down the road and, you know. And so this idea of sustainability and management of our natural resources and the environment is super, super important. And we as a society, as a community doesn't really think along those lines. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of our kupuna. I'm a huge fan of our kupuna kahiko and our ali'i for that matter, because they were forward thinkers. They were deep thinkers. And, you know, he ali'i, what is there's an olelo no eo. That speaks about the land is chief. He ali'i ka aina, he kaua ke kanaka. Land is chief. The kanaka, us, whether you're the ali'i itself or the maka'ainana, we are servants to the land. And so how did they utilize konane for their kulyana as leaders back in the day. Got a couple of examples.
Yeah. So as you play Kwanani, right, if you want to be successful at Kwanani, you got to look at the board. And first of all, the board is called a papamu.
Yes.
So you're looking at a papamu. Those of you who've been to Limahuli Gardens, they got a great example of a beautiful papamu there with a beautiful background signaling exactly what the papamu is there for. But with that said, it is, again, managing territories, breaking the papamu up into smaller, more manageable pieces. And, you know, sometimes in Kwanani, there's two ways to win. I got them already. Like I said, we playing. I got you already. There's a double that I could do, or there's a single that I could do. The more Hawaiian way is to take that single. Because what that means is that I win the game using the least amount of resources. The double may be glorified, right? I could go with the Jurassic pocket, boom,
right.
Boom, two of them.
Right.
But I have to use one more piece.
But what for, right?
Yeah, I have to use one more piece.
That's like more effort and more energy.
Yeah, so it taught those critical thinking skills, those analytical skills to our kupuna, and it allowed them to make better decisions. Interesting how you brought up at our local level as far as government, you know, are we playing Kwanani or are we playing chess? You know what I mean? Is it a consumption game or is it a long-term sustainability game? And so, you know, one of the sayings that I like to say is change the game, change the future.
I love that. And, you know, I think maybe there needs to be, you know, it can be good fun, you know, a teaching opportunity for our decision makers in the political sphere. And it's fun. It'll be fun, but with purpose. So learn how to play Konane, come to this ancient Hawaiian game with a whole different set of intentions and a new set of eyes that looks at this papamu as the realm that you're managing. Yeah. Just because people vote us in, well, I'm not a politician and neither are you, but I'm just trying to be inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. But just because our leaders get voted in, it doesn't mean that the decision making can be, you know, without, you know, further thought and connection to how the resources impact how we manage resources. And a lot of times, because we're looking at places and we're looking through a set of lens that is of Western philosophy and mana'o, and a lot of it is based on consumption, right? Mm-hmm. Like people continue to move here. It's like we only have one road. Mm-hmm. How do we manage that? I mean, you know, we can build more roads and build more, you know, more bridges and this and that. But the fact of the matter is we still live on the tip top summits of these seamounts. And water is very limited. It might rain a lot here, but, you know, chances are people don't know how to access water resources unless it's coming out of the pipe in their home. Do we know our springs? Do we know our where our aquifers are? Do we know the importance of hula, traditional hula practice? Why do hula practitioners maintain a hula altar? Well, it has to do with the management and the care of the forest. A lot of people don't look at it that way. They just see hula as, oh, it's dance and, you know, entertainment and stuff like that, which it is. But circling back to Konane, there's a kuleana. There's a kuleana. And so when we look at this papamu, it's not just a board game that you're doing moves on, but it's critical thinking, right? It's critical thinking. And it is to get yourself into the position where where your opponent can no longer move. But it doesn't mean that you totally, like, consume them. in like if we compare it to other board games. Am I off here?
No. You're pretty. You know, you're close. I mean, Konani can be won with more than half of the pieces left on the board. You know, a lot of people assume that you're gonna go down to the last few pieces. You know, but when you get two good quality players, the game can be over with only 10 pieces off the board. And that's good. That's the way you pat yourself on the back
right.
and say, that was a good victory because I was able to win using the least amount of resources.
The least amount of energy and the least amount of resources, which is represented by the ili-ili or the pebbles on the Konani board. So describe what a papamu is and what are all the parts that make it work.
So, and you know, that's a good point because, you know, we mentioned earlier about how politicians look, you know, maybe they look things different. Let's go back to our ali'i, you know, back in those days. The papamu, to me, and I bring it up in my book that is coming out soon, is a reflection of the ahupua'a. You know, I talk about different kinds of configurations, and in my studies, when I see, you know, you see the 8x8, the 6x6, the 10x10, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that's not the standard. I mean, that's one of the great things about Konani is that the configurations are all different.
Mm.
And to me, I believe that back in the ancient days, these configurations was a reflection of the ahupua'a. Now, the ili'ili, stone and coral, both representing the mauka and the makai and the resources that are in between. The other thing I like about the ili'ili is that they are the same value. You know, sometimes I think with politicians, they look at society, look at, you know, these guys and those guys and
who gives more contributions
yeah.
to their campaigns.
Well, I don't like to say that.
But,
you know,
well, I can say that. Okay. I just said that. But, I don't know if I can say that, but I did. So,
but they are the same value. And that's what I like about the game, too, is because the ones on the edges have a slightly higher value. But as soon as they move on the, you know, as soon as they move into the middle part again, they're just like everybody else.
Right.
And so that's what I love about this game is that it's not like a game of chess where certain get certain values, certain rules of what they can and cannot do and pieces and so on. This one is all communal, too. It doesn't start off with the white side versus the black side.
Right.
They all intermingle like a community, the way a community should function. All in this ahupua, two people or two opponents managing the resources for long-term sustainability.
Beautiful. So these ili'ili, for those who are not familiar with Olala Hawaii, ili'ili are pebbles. And so there are... Konani is played by two players. Yeah, two players. You know, it's not a game like you can play by yourself, but, well, you probably could, but generally it's two people sit on opposite sides of the papamu or the board, the Konani board. And then we have white ili'ili, which traditionally were coral. And I love that representation. I never looked at it that way, that... Which is true because they use the ili'ili, the ili'ili ke'oke, or the white pebbles were basically pieces of coral, which comes from the makai, or the ocean resources, or the realm of the ocean. And then you have the ili'ili ele'ele, or the black pebbles, which are smooth river water-worn pebbles. And so these represent your different pieces, and that's basically all you need. So my question to you is, who played ili'ili back in ancient times? And I know the answer, but I'm just going to ask it for discussion purposes here, but was it a game that was reserved for the elite?
Yeah, that's a good question. And everybody played in society, Konani, because society needed to be critical thinkers. You know, our ali'i had the bloodline, or shall we say, the mana to lead, but I'm sure they kind of think of everything, you know?
Right.
And so having a population that was also critical thinkers is a plus. You know, being able to find solutions to challenges, because like you say, tips on mountains in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, if there's an issue or there's a problem, you got to solve them. Well, what resources you have available to you and exactly. whatever knowledge you have.
So, you know, as a native Hawaiian, born and raised in a traditional Hawaiian household, and primarily a household whose matriarch was a hula master, I didn't realize until I was a full-fledged adult that many of the things that I was being shown, guided, oftentimes never in a formal setting, that this is a lesson. This is why you do this. Oftentimes it was just, you know, makahana kaike, right? You learn by doing or following and observing. And so one of the things that is often misunderstood about Hawaiian games is that they're just games to keep children occupied, but they're not. They are not. And so Konane is one of them. And so it is an excellent tool and an excellent vehicle in which to raise our children or introduce the youth and our young keiki to this game for all the reasons that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so at one level, at the surface level, it's like it's a pastime, it's a game. But what I've learned a lot about traditional Hawaiian culture and lifestyle and the upbringing of children in the family is that from a very, very young age, we are, and I'll use myself as an example, I was introduced to many things that I didn't realize until I was a full-grown adult, that was a very valuable lesson. My grandmother never told me, this is why you do this, or when we go to the forest, this is a chant that we do. I just learned it on the spot. And so I'm saying this because, like, I'm teaching just an offering to the community, a series of gatherings that people want to learn about, you know, the Hawaiian lunar system and the moon. And one of the ways that I teach it is through a chant. And so you know, people look at Konane and they look at, you know, this chant for keiki that, oh, it's just for good fun. But there's so much wisdom in there. And for our young people and even for, like, you know, adults, even kupuna, that we're not privy to learning these things of our ancestors. My thing is, it's never too late.
It's never too
late. It is never too late. And so, question to you is, how hard is it to learn Konane?
You know, that's a question that I've been trying to answer. Yeah?
Okay.
Because to learn how to play Konane in 10 minutes, the rules are simple. But in its simplicity, Konane is a very high, complex game. But it's been driven down to the point where it's a keiki's game. You know,
right.
People, they look at it as, oh, that's for the kids' game. And we are in the season right now,
yes,
where there are schools out there that will bring it out just for makahiki and then put them away.
Right.
And what they don't realize is that this is a teaching tool for all year round,
yeah,
not just the makahiki.
It's actually much more beneficial than an iPad. Although, as I say that, you have also pivoted into the times that we live in, and so you teach online courses as well.
Correct. Yeah. So in my Papamu development, I've gotten to the point now where I have this design, or this Papamu design, called the Pu'eo Papamu. And it is designed so that I can play. You just mentioned a list of people from Great Britain.
Yep.
In theory, I could play. I don't wake up that early, but I could play,
right,
somebody from Great Britain.
Or wherever, right?
Because the Pu'eo Papamu is notated. And so all I got to do is say, you know, A1 to A3, and then my opponent in Great Britain can make the move, and then my opponent can return that, you know, that person's move that I can reflect. So it allows me to play other people in other locations, as well as teach, you know, doing it online. And so that's what we're looking at. And so we developed that particular Papamoo for that type. That's the future, because it's going to allow tournaments. A lot of people, you know, the hardest part about Konani is finding somebody else to play.
Right.
And that's how far it's been driven down. And so that's one of the things that, you know, it'll help us get to the point where we will be able to, you know, if you really excited and you want to be champion and, you know, you want to play against competitors, because the only way you can get better is playing somebody better than you.
Right.
This will allow, you know, when you get you busting up all your friends and all your family, you know, look for somebody else out there who not afraid of you and willing to take you on. And this will at least help with that process. And,
yeah.
And so I see a lot of potential. But, you know, earlier we were talking about in schools, and I just was working with a middle school, and I did a workshop for the teachers. And I told the teachers, you know, you don't have to be the master in the class, because I guarantee you get too much things on your mind.
Right.
And these kids going to bust you up. It's going to be
concentration,
you know,
it's
going to be a Bobby Fischer sweeping up the, you know. but it's not that you have to be strong or a strong player, but you have to see opportunities to ask the question, why did you make that move? And I tell the teachers, it is that answer that they give you is where true teaching begins, because from there, as a teacher, you understand the student's thought process, and like I said, they're gonna probably beat you, but at least you're teaching them, taking them farther beyond and teaching them and letting them understanding how they think and having them explain their thoughts. That's what true teaching is.
Yeah, you know, we're going to take a real quick break because the time is just flying so quickly. I want to play, I want us to take a little trip out to Limahuli via a mele by request of Uncle John here. And for those who have never visited Limahuli, or even if you have and you've never noticed the magnificent Papamoo that is just on the, it's right off of the visitor center. How, is it just one?
The last I was there, one.
Okay.
And one to be made.
Okay. So, you know, the Papamoo or the Konani playing board comes in different
configurations
and made out of different resources. We're most familiar with, you know, the boards, you know, like a square piece of board. Sometimes it's really fancy. But in ancient times, and they did have Papamoo made of wood, right, back mm-hmm. in ancient times, which are more, they're more mobile. You can travel with them. But in every Ahupua'a, there were oftentimes several big, huge, mammoth Papamoo, which were carved into, there were Konani plane boards that were carved into the surface of big boulders or a huge pohaku. And so if you want to, you know, see one, I'm not sure if there are other places on the island that may have Papamoo that are like the one at Limahuli. It's absolutely beautiful.
You know, they have, I think Kauai Museum has one.
Oh, okay. That's part of their display, collection.
As part of their collection. I believe Koke'i Museum has one as part of their collection. And those are the only ones that I know of. Now, there may be other, I remember at one time, Kawaikini Hawaiian Public Charter School had one. I'm not sure if it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But, these, if there is, definitely go look at them. And, you know, touch them and feel them, you know.
Right. Or learn how to play. And we're going to talk about learning how to play Konane in just a bit. But we're going to take a short little segue via a mele. This is Nā Kahulukula family with the late amazing Robbie Kahulukula on lead vocals, singing a mele that was composed by the late Dr. Carlos Andrade, simply entitled Limahuli. Okay, great. Oh my goodness, time just flies by so quickly. Before we run out of time, John, I want to talk about you're going to Oahu this weekend. That's like big time. I love it. And, you know, you've been at this for so long. And, you know, mahalo for your perseverance, because this work, I mean, to me, it is work. This is your practice. It's a traditional practice. It's important because very few people have the insights and the knowledge to the philosophy of Konane, and it being above and beyond just a, you know, a kid's game or a pastime. We're talking about strategy. We're talking about looking at resource management, like how we talked about earlier. So Lahakuʻokoʻa is coming up at the end of the month, but there are many places throughout Hawaii that are celebrating Lahakuʻokoʻa month. So you're going to Oahu to be part of that celebration.
Yeah, I get to go and do a couple of things. One of them is my first one is going to be at this Native Hawaiian business.
I love it.
In on the 4th Street Mall. And it's just, I always tell people, it's just mauka of South Pauahi. And it's called Drip Studio. And we're just going to do one, you know, I'm just going to lay out some papamoo on the tables. And we just, you know, you like learn, come down, you know, fast kind. Learn. And that's going to be on Thursday morning. Friday, towards the early afternoon, we're going to be at the Vai Vai Collective. And this is on University Avenue. And for those of you who are not familiar, it's that used to be at around First Hawaiian Bank. I think it used to be a theater.
It used to be a theater. Yeah. It used to be Varsity Theater, yeah, I think, a long time ago when I was in school. Yeah. I saw Pretty Woman there.
You saw Pretty Woman over there? Oh, it's a good movie to see.
Yeah.
There. And so it's going to be there. And this one is a full-blown workshop. This is when I get dig, and when I start digging deep into Konane, you know, the history, strategy, and things like that, and answer a lot of questions. But those are basically the two. I have a lot of workshops. We go right out of time. It'll be 2 o'clock by the time we leave here when I run short.
Yeah, so people can go to your Instagram page. You have an Instagram page?
Yeah.
What is the handle?
So the handle for the Instagram page is at Hawaiian Checkers.
Easy.
And so that one, I'm waiting for one more confirmation for fill out at least some of my events for November. But I do have at least 10 events, possibly 12 events coming up in the month of November and December. And so there's a lot of good opportunity, not only to learn about Konane, but, you know, if you had any questions, you know, I always like that part, you know, that question and answer part that comes with these events. And then we move it to Lahakuʻokoʻa. And this is my partnership that I have with you coming up.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We've been doing stuff together for a long time, but it's been a long time since we did anything. In fact, the last time you were here in the studio was, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
It was before COVID.
COVID. It was several years ago, and we were talking about Ohehano Ihu. Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about Konane. We are going to collaborate to do community outreach again in an offering of 2 days of learning. People get to create a papamu, you know, utilizing artful approaches, and then they get to spend the second workshop learning, applying all of those kinds of things. So there's more information on that. It's on your Instagram handle at Hawaiian Checkers. And then you can also look at Culture to Canvas as well, which is not just art, but it's chanting and learning to play Konane.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like a two-part series. And so you get to paint your own, which I think is, you know, when we were talking about this.
That was your idea. I never even thought about that. Yeah. That is cool.
And so we have that. And then on Sunday, December 3rd, that's when we're going to have our Konane workshop. So again, just like what I'm doing at Vai Vai Collective on November 17th, we're also going to do it on December 3rd at the Anahola Marketplace. And yeah, you know, this is it. This is the time when, you know, most of the times the other events that I have is just activity.
Yeah.
But this one, you got to fasten your seatbelts for this one because this is the one.
I'm so excited about that.
And you're gonna be engaged. Also, you got a book coming out, and so that's a nice thing too. That we hope to have that book available when we have our event coming up on the 28th and December 3rd.
So it won't be ready for your Vai-Vai
It should be
collective.
Ready for pickup. Yeah.
Ah, got
Hopefully
it. Got
there.
It.
Hopefully, it's there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm super excited about that. So there's a lot of things going on, and it's like so quick. It's already the top of the hour, and so we're going to have to wrap this up. But let's continue the conversation. Both John and I are Native Hawaiian cultural practitioners. We both live on the Hawaiian homestead in Anahola. You know, one of our shared goals for this conversation today and moving forward is to increase our population of konane players, because if the more people learn how to play konane, the more people are thinking with intention and outside of their own personal needs. We're thinking more communal, what is more, you know, what is best to manage our resources, our finite limited resources, and you know, and shift more into a mode of cultural awareness. So Lakuʻokoʻa is the official Hawaiian Independence Day, and so there will be a lot of celebrations here on Kauai, including with both of us towards the end of the month on November 28th and December 3rd, and so we want to celebrate Lakuʻokoʻa by bringing forth Ike. Wisdom and knowledge, noʻeau, skills in crafting and in akamai, you know, in intelligence. And so the theme for this Culture to Canvas and Konane partnership is really to elevate the legacy of Hawaiian knowledge, culture, and community through moʻolelo, through nahana noʻeau, and Konane as well. It's been fun. Thank you so much for being here today.
I know you got to take the bean for the team, but I'm much mahalo. I know it wasn't easy for you, but I'm glad you're enjoying the scraping some rust off of the
I am. It just is a reminder that I got to come more often than not. So, and I will. In closing, today is a Hoaka Moon Gang. It is the second. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Sunday was Hilo. Yesterday was Hoaka. Today is Kukahi. So today's moon rose early this morning at 6:13. And the sun is going to set at 5:55 this afternoon. We're looking at a brand new lunar cycle. So if you're looking at the moon, you're not going to see it until it sets in the west after sunset, and because that moon is very li'ili'i, it's only 2.7 illuminated in the night sky. So nui ka mahalo ia oi. Thank you, John, for being here this morning. Thank you all listeners of and supporters of Kauai's community radio station.